Chapter 53. The Last Chapter. The Wheel Turns. Dawn revealed devastation in the Green Man's garden. The ground was thick with fallen leaves, almost knee-deep in places. All the flowers were gone except a few clinging desperately to the edge of the clearing. Little could grow in the soil under an oak, but a thin circle of flowers and grass centered on the thick trunk above the Green Man's grave. The oak itself retained only half its leaves, and that was far more than any other tree had, as if some remnant of the Green Man still fought to hold there. The cool breezes had died, replaced by a growing, sticky heat. The butterflies were gone, the birds silent. It was a silent group who prepared to leave. Rand climbed into the bay's saddle with a sense of loss.
It shouldn't be this way. Blood and ashes, we won!
I wish he had found his other place, Egwene said as she mounted Bella.
A litter, fashioned by Lan, was slung between the shaggy mare and Aldeeb to carry Moraine. Nynaeve would ride beside with the white mare's reins. The Wisdom dropped her eyes whenever she saw Lan glance at her, avoiding his gaze. The Warder looked at her whenever her eyes were averted, but he would not speak to her. No one had to ask who Egwene meant.
It is not right, Loyal said, staring at the oak.
The Ogier was the only one still not mounted.
It is not right that Tree Brother should fall to the Blight.
He handed the reins of his big horse to Rand.
Not right.
Lan opened his mouth as the Ogier walked to the great oak. Moraine, lying on the litter, weakly raised her hand, and the Warder said nothing. Before the oak, Loyal knelt, closing his eyes and stretching out his arms. The tufts on his ears stood straight as he lifted his face to the sky. And he sang. Rand could not say if there were words, or if it was pure song. In that rumbling voice it was as if the earth sang, yet he was sure he heard the birds trilling again, and spring breezes sighing softly, and the sound of butterfly wings. Lost in the song, he thought it lasted only minutes, but when Loyal lowered his arms and opened his eyes, he was surprised to see the sun stood well above the horizon. It had been touching the trees when the Ogier began. The leaves still on the oak seemed greener and more firmly attached than before. The flowers encircling it stood straighter, the morning stars white and fresh, the lover's knots a strong crimson. Mopping sweat from his broad face, Loyal rose and took his reins from Rand. His long eyebrows drooped, abashed, as if they might think he had been showing off.
I've never sung so hard before. I could not have done it if something of Tree Brother was not still there. My tree songs do not have his power.
When he settled himself in his saddle, there was satisfaction in the look he gave the oak and the flowers.
This little space, at least, will not sink into the Blight. The Blight will not have Tree Brother.
You are a good man, Ogier, Lan said. Loyal grinned.
I will take that as a compliment, but I do not know what Elder Haman would say.
They rode in a single file, with Matt behind the Warder, where he could use his bow to effect if needed, and Perrin bringing up the rear with his axe across the pommel of his saddle. They crested a hill, and in an eye blink the Blight was all around them, twisted and rotted in virulent rainbow hues. Rand looked over his shoulder, but the Green Man's garden was nowhere to be seen. Only the Blight stretching behind them, as before. Yet he thought, just for a moment, that he saw the towering top of the oak tree, green and lush, before it shimmered and was gone. Then there was only the Blight. He half expected they would have to fight their way out as they fought their way in, but the Blight was as quiet and still as death. Not a single branch trembled, as if to lash at them, nothing screamed or howled, neither nearby nor in the distance. The Blight seemed to crouch, not to pounce, but as if it had been struck a great blow and waited for the next to fall. Even the sun was less red. When they passed the necklace of lakes, the sun hung not far past its zenith. Lan kept them well away from the lakes and did not even look at them. But Rand thought the Seven Towers seemed taller than when he first saw them. He was sure the jagged tops were further from the ground, and above them something almost seen, seamless towers gleaming in the sun, and banners with golden cranes flying on the wind. He blinked and stared, but the towers refused to vanish completely.
They were there at the edge of vision until the blight hid the lakes once more. Before sunset, the warder chose a campsite, and Moraine had Nynaeve and Egwene help her up to set wards. The Aes Sedai whispered in the other women's ears before she began. Nynaeve hesitated, but when Moraine closed her eyes, all three women did so together. Rand saw Matt and Perrin staring and wondered how they could be surprised. Every woman is an Aes Sedai, he thought mirthlessly. The light helped me, so am I. Bleakness held his tongue. Why is it so different? Perrin asked as Egwene and the Wisdom helped Moraine to her bed. It feels... His thick shoulders shrugged as if he could not find the word. We struck a mighty blow at the Dark One, Moraine replied, settling herself with a sigh. The Shadow will be a long time recovering. How? Matt demanded. What do we do? Sleep, Moraine said. We are not out of the Blight yet. But the next morning, still nothing changed that Rand could see. The Blight faded as they rode south, of course. Twisted trees were replaced by straight. The stifling heat diminished. Rotting foliage gave way to the merely diseased. And then not diseased, he realized. The forest around them became red with new growth, thick on the branches. Buds sprouted on the undergrowth, creepers covered the rocks with green, and new wildflowers dotted the grass as thick and bright as where the green man walked. It was as if spring, so long held back by winter, now raced to catch up to where it should be. He was not the only one who stared. A mighty blow, Moraine murmured, and would say no more. Climbing wild rose entwined the stone column marking the border. Men came out of the watchtowers to greet them. There was a stunned quality to their laughter, and their eyes shone with amaze, as if they could not believe the new grass under their steel-clad feet. The light has conquered the shadow. A great victory in Tarwin's Gap. We have had the message. Victory! The light blesses us again. King Isar is strong in the light, Lan replied to all their shouts. The watchman wanted to tend Moraine, or at least send an escort with them, but she refused it all. Even flat on her back on a litter, the Aes Sedai's presence was such that the armored men fell back, bowing and acceding to her wishes. Their laughter followed as Rand and the others rode on. In the late afternoon, they reached Faldara, to find the grim-walled city ringing with celebration. Ringing in truth. Rand doubted if there could be a bell in the city not clanging, from the tiniest silver harness chime to great bronze gongs in their tower tops. The gates stood wide open, and men ran laughing and singing in the streets, flowers stuck in their topknots and the crevices of their armor. The common people of the town had not yet returned from Falmoran, but the soldiers were newly come from Tarwin's Gap, and their joy was enough to fill the streets. Victory in the Gap! We won! A miracle in the Gap! The Age of Legends has come back! Spring! A grizzled old soldier laughed as he hung a garland of morning stars around Rand's neck. His own topknot was a white cluster of them. The light blesses us with spring once more! Learning they wanted to go to the keep, a circle of men clad in steel and flowers surrounded them, running to clear a way through the celebration. Ingtar's was the first face Rand saw that was not smiling. I was too late, Ingtar told Lan with a sour grimness. Too late by an hour to see. Peace! His teeth ground audibly, but then his expression became contrite. Forgive me. Grief makes me forget my duties. Welcome, Builder. Welcome to you all. It is good to see you safely out of the Blight. I will bring the healer to Moraine Sedai in her chambers and inform Lord Aglemar. Take me to Lord Aglemar, Moraine commanded. Take us all. Ingtar opened his mouth to protest and bowed under the force of her eyes. Aglemar was in his study, with his swords and armor back on their racks, and his was the second face that did not smile. He wore a troubled frown that deepened when he saw Moraine carried in on her litter by liveried servants. Women in the black and gold fluttered over, bringing the Aes Sedai to him without a chance to freshen herself or be brought the healer. Loyal carried the gold chest. The pieces of the seal were still in Moraine's pouch. Luz Theron Kinslayer's banner was wrapped in her blanket roll and still tied behind Aldib's saddle. The groom who had led the white mare away had received the strictest orders to see the blanket roll was placed untouched in the chambers assigned to the Aes Sedai.
Peace, the Lord of Faldara muttered. Are you injured, Moraine Sedai? Ingtar, why have you not seen the Aes Sedai to her bed and brought the healer to her?
Be still, Lord Agomar, Moraine said. Ingtar has done as I commanded him. I am not so frail as everyone here seems to think.
She motioned two of the women to help her to a chair. For a moment they clasped their hands, exclaiming that she was too weak, that she should be in a warm bed, and the healer brought, and a hot bath. Moraine's eyebrows lifted. The women shut their mouths and abruptly hurried to wait her into the chair. As soon as she was settled, she waved them away irritably.
I would speak with you, Lord Agomar.
Agomar nodded, and Ingtar waved the servants from the room. The Lord of Faldara eyed those who remained expectantly, especially, Rand thought, Loyal and the Golden Chest.
We hear, Moraine said as soon as the door shut behind Ingtar, that you won a great victory in Tarwin's Gap.
Yes, Agomar said slowly, his troubled frown returning. Yes, Aes Sedai, and no. The half-men and their Trollocs were destroyed to the last, but we barely fought. A miracle, my men call it. The earth swallowed them, the mountains buried them. Only a few Dragkar were left, too frightened to do else but fly north as fast as they could.
A miracle indeed, Moraine said. And spring has come again.
A miracle, Agomar said, shaking his head. But,
Moraine said I, men say many things about what happened in the Gap. That the light took on flesh and fought for us. That the Creator walked in the Gap to strike at the shadow. But I saw a man, Moraine said I. I saw a man, and what he did cannot be, must not be.
The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, Lord of Faldara.
As you say, Moraine said I.
And Padan Fain, he is secure? I must speak with him when I am rested.
He is held as you commanded, Aes Sedai, whining at his guards half the time and trying to command them the rest. But
peace, Moraine Sedai. What of you in the Blight? You found the green man? I see his hand in the new things growing.
We found him, she said flatly. The green man is dead, Lord Agomar, and the eye of the world is gone. There will be no more quests by young men seeking glory.
The Lord of Faldara frowned, shaking his head in confusion.
Dead? The green man? He cannot be. Then you were defeated? But the flowers and the growing things.
We won, Lord Agomar. We won, and the land freed from winter is the proof. But I fear the last battle has not yet been fought.
Rand stirred, but the Aes Sedai gave him a sharp look, and he stood still again.
The Blight still stands, and the forges of Thakandar still work below Sheol Ghul. There are many half-men yet, and countless Trollocs. Never think the need for watchfulness in the Borderlands is gone.
I did not think it so, Aes Sedai, he said stiffly.
Moraine motioned for Loyal to set the gold chest at her feet, and when he did, she opened it, revealing the horn.
The horn of Valir, she said,
and Agomar gasped. Rand almost thought the man would kneel.
With that, Moraine said I, it matters not how many half-men or Trollocs remain. With the heroes of old come back from the tomb, we will march to the blasted lands and level Sheol Ghul.
No!
Agomar's mouth fell open in surprise, but Moraine continued calmly.
I did not show it to you to taunt you, but so that you will know that in whatever battles yet come, our might will be as great as that of the Shadow. Its place is not here. The horn must be carried to Ilion. It is there, if fresh battles threaten, that it must rally the forces of the Light. I will ask an escort of your best men to see that it reaches Ilion safely. There are dark friends still, as well as half-men and Trollocs, and those who come to the horn will follow whoever wins it. It must reach Ilion.
It shall be as you say, Aes Sedai.
But when the lid of the chest closed, the Lord of Faldara looked like a man being denied his last glimpse of the light.
7 days later, bells still rang in Faldara. The people had returned from Falmoran, adding their celebration to that of the soldiers, and shouts and singing blended with the pealing of bells on the long balcony where Rand stood. The balcony overlooked Agomar's private gardens, green and flowering,
but he did not give them a second look. Despite the sun high in the sky, spring in Shinar was cooler than he was used to, yet sweat glistened on his bare chest and shoulders as he swung the Heronmark blade, each move precise yet distant from where he floated in the void. Even there he wondered how much joy there would be in the town if they knew of the banner Moraine still kept hidden.
"Good, sheepherder."
Leaning against the railing with his arms folded across his chest, the warder watched him critically.
"You are doing well, but don't push so hard. You can't become a blade master in a few weeks."
The void vanished like a pricked bubble.
"I don't care about being a blade master."
"It's a blade master's blade, sheepherder."
"I just want my father to be proud of me."
His hand tightened on the rough leather of the hilt.
"I just want Tam to be my father."
He slammed the sword into its scabbard.
"Anyway, I don't have a few weeks."
"Then you've not changed your mind?"
"Would you?"
Lan's expression had not altered. The flat planes of his face looked as if they could not change.
"You won't try to stop me, or Moraine said I?"
"You can do as you will, sheepherder, or as the pattern weaves for you."
The warder straightened.
"I'll leave you now."
Rand turned to watch Lan go and found Egwene standing there.
"Changed your mind about what, Rand?"
He snatched up his shirt and coat, suddenly feeling the cool.
"I'm going away, Egwene."
"Where?"
"Somewhere. I don't know."
He did not want to meet her eyes, but he could not stop looking at her. She wore red wild roses twined in her hair, flowing about her shoulders. She held her cloak close, dark blue and embroidered along the edge with a thin line of white flowers in the Shinaran fashion, and the blossoms made a line straight up to her face. They were no paler than her cheeks. Her eyes seemed so large and dark.
"Away. I'm sure Moraine Sedai will not like you just going off. After what you've done, you deserve some reward." "Moraine Sedai does not know I am alive. I have done what she wanted, and that's an end to it. She doesn't even speak to me when I go to her. Not that I've tried to stay close to her, but she's avoided me. She won't care if I go, and I don't care if she does."
"Moraine is still not completely well, Rand."
She hesitated.
"I have to go to Tar Valon for my training. Nynaeve is coming too. And Matt still needs to be healed of whatever binds him to that dagger. And Perrin wants to see Tar Valon before he goes wherever. You could come with us and wait for some Aes Sedai besides Moraine to find out what I am and gentle me."
His voice was rough, almost a sneer. He could not change it.
"Is that what you want?"
"No."
He knew he would never be able to tell her how grateful he was that she had not hesitated before answering.
"Rand, you aren't afraid?"
They were alone, but she looked around and still lowered her voice.
"Moraine Sedai says you don't have to touch the true source. If you don't touch Sidene, if you don't try to wield the power, you'll be safe."
"Oh, I won't ever touch it again. Not if I have to cut my hand off first."
"What if I can't stop? I never tried to wield it, not even at the eye. What if I can't stop?" "Will you go home, Rand? Your father must be dying to see you. Even Matt's father must be dying to see him by now. I'll be coming back to Women's Field next year, for a little while at least."
He rubbed his palm over the hilt of his sword, feeling the bronze heron.
"My father. Home. Light, how I want to see. Not home. Some place where there aren't any people to hurt if I can't stop myself. Somewhere alone."
Suddenly it felt as cold as snow on the balcony.
"I'm going away, but not home." "Egwene. Egwene, why did you have to be one of those?"
He put his arms around her and whispered into her hair.
"Not ever home."
In Agilmar's private garden, under a thick bower dotted with white blossoms, Moiraine shifted on her bedchair. The fragments of the seal lay on her lap, and the small gem she sometimes wore in her hair spun and glittered on its gold chain from the ends of her fingers. The faint blue glow faded from the stone, and a smile touched her lips. It had no power in itself, the stone, but the first use she had ever learned of the One Power as a girl in the royal palace in Kyrene was using the stone to listen to people when they thought they were too far off to be overheard. "The prophecies will be fulfilled," the Aes Sedai whispered. "The dragon is reborn." The end of the first book of The Wheel of Time.